Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Eastport.
That would be a little weird. But Westport.
As far as I can tell, Eastport is about as far east as you can go in Mississippi. It is the Tennessee River in like the top corner of Tishomingo County.
Well, there you go. No, Tishomingo County needs a Strange Brew Coffee House.
Instead of Iuka, it could be Ibruka.
$1 million idea.
Just saying. Wherever you are in our great state, from east to west and north to south, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeeHouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. We got no football, so you might as well still enjoy the tailgating aspect of it, and you can do that when you put beef on the grill. Or if you go out to one of our great steakhouses here around the state of Mississippi, all you got to do is check them out and enjoy a fantastic meal each and every time. Whenever you put a steak in front of you, you're going to have a great time. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. You might be looking for like a maroon and white raincoat these next couple of days. Well, if that's the case, you can head over to College Corner. They've got everything you're looking for. They've got the logos that you want. They've got a lot of great name brands. It's all right there. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler. It's Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon, if you're going to be up here for baseball this weekend, or if you're coming up in the spring for any reason whatsoever, make sure you've got a meal at Restaurant Tyler planned. If it's lunch and you're going to grab the blue plate, if it's dinner and you want to get a steak or some pasta, or if you're going to grab Sunday brunch and enjoy one of the best brunches in the state of Mississippi, it's all right there for you in one spot. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you in central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. When you have questions about your money, you don't have to wait. You shouldn't have to wait. You should get a level of service that you can only get at a bank like Priority One Bank. That's why I keep telling you guys that if you want to be treated like a neighbor, you want to be treated like somebody who has some meaning, you need to talk to somebody at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Before we get into the rumblings, and we do have to get into them because we've got a lot of them, he has not had a great record this year. He's not having his best year here with us. But Mississippi State taking on Florida, the number three team in the nation at the hump, on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock. We have to find out what happened, Robbie. There's only one man who can tell us. We go now to our one and only correspondent here on Thunder and Lightning. We go now. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. All right. To future Brian.
I mean, you know who it is, right? Good. Whatever. We're not going to talk about... I'm not going to go through recapping this game. You all watched it. You all saw what happened. You know what the score was. Final score, 81-68. There's no point in going through and sort of breaking. That's pointless and useless and futile at this point. Something's wrong with this basketball team. It has been for a few weeks. And right now you're watching a team that will get into the NCAA tournament, and that will be that for the third straight season. There's no reason to assume that this team can win a single game in conference play. They will simply play a team that can shoot the three, and the team will shoot threes. I don't remember. I say that. That is foolish of me to say, because I want to say the stubbornness. But coaches, this is how coaches are. And I got a text from a friend who's like, you know, you really nailed it sometimes when you say coaches would rather lose their way than win somebody else's. I don't know what how many times you have to watch a Chris Jans basketball team double team the post and lead to a wide open three that gets converted. If you're going to give up easy buckets anyway, I'd rather them be twos than threes. Just single team, one man on man in the post. And if you get beat for a dunk or a layup, that's one less point than you're doing giving up these three-pointers. Florida with 14 makes from three. So what State's last three home games? Three games, if I'm doing the math right, 44 threes given up. Come on, man. This is silly. This is silliness. And then, you know, once again, your offense disappears around you. Hubbard at 19, but most of it is in garbage time. Keyshawn Murphy was really the only guy who played well tonight. He had a double-double, 18 and 13. He's playing well. There's not a whole lot you can do, but Hubbard shot 5 of 15 to get 19 points. He did hit four threes, but, like, again, as I said, most of it in the second half. 7 of 27 from behind the three-point line, and that's going 5 of 12 in the second half. So in the first half, they were 2 of 15. Melendez, 3 points, 1 of 5 shooting. Harris, 6 points, 1 of 5 shooting. Matthews, 5 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 5 turnovers, and 4 fouls. So you got nothing out of him. Nwoko, 5 points, 6 rebounds. He played okay. Kugel, 7 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Not enough. Not enough. After this team played Memphis, I went to that game. I covered that game, and I watched that team just destroy Memphis on its own home court, and I was like, this team is really good. They know how to play. They've figured some things out. They're going to be good. The first two games of the SEC, I'm like, all right, they're rolling right along. Kentucky broke this team. They just broke them. They had a chance to win that game. They didn't do it, and since then, it's just been downhill. And, yeah, they were able to scrape a win against Ole Miss. They were able to scrape a win against South Carolina, scrape a win against Georgia. They'll probably end up winning enough games to go to the NCAA tournament, maybe even be in there comfortably, not have to be on the bubble. But I can't watch this team and tell you with any confidence this is a team that can make any type of deep run into March. I can't do that. I won't do that. I just don't know where the disconnect is here. I don't know what's going wrong. I feel like there's some coaching problems. I feel like there's some player problems. I don't like the body language I see from time to time out there. And you just don't have a team that's built correctly. You're missing a true point guard. You know, you thought you were going to get that in Clary, but it didn't work out. And that's 2 years in a row you've had a really big whiff in the portal to the tune of the guy can't even get on the court. The guy can't even be part of the team. That's 2 years in a row with that. That's not acceptable. That can't happen again. And then, you know, you just missed out on some big men. I like Nwoko's potential. I think next year he can be a big piece. But that's not helping you win this year. And then Melendez, Head Harris, and Kugel, they've taken huge step backs the past few weeks. Kugel had a great game against Ole Miss, but since then he's done nothing. Melendez, done nothing. Harris was a great shooter at Boston College, and now he can't shoot anymore. That's why you brought him here, was to shoot three-pointers. And he can't do it. He's not being able to do it anymore. This is incredibly frustrating. And I feel the frustration from you guys. I feel it. I know it's there. I mean, this weekend has potential to be really bad. This is an Ole Miss team. They're playing South Carolina tonight, so you know they're going to win. They're going to be coming in with a ton of confidence, a ton of energy. That crowd is going to be hostile, and they smell blood in the water. State's fragile right this second. Won't be surprised if this one gets real ugly at the Pavilion on Saturday. I got a really bad feeling that it's going to be one of those games where, kind of like the Tennessee and the Auburn games, where you look up at the first media timeout and it's like 15-2, and it just slides from there. Listening to Hubbard and Murphy, I mean, they seemed desolate, you know, despondent. They sounded like they had no answers. And Jan's kind of the same way. You know, you're up one after playing terribly in the first half. I told Paul Jones, who I was sitting next to,
It's like, man, to play that poorly and be ahead is really something. It felt like State was down 10 at the break. They were up one. And they come out in the second half, and Florida goes on a 17-0 run. On your home court, this is two games in a row now on your home court, you've just been absolutely manhandled. Gross basketball. I don't know the answer, guys. I don't. You know, people are like, oh, you're not a coach. Yeah, I know I'm not a coach. I don't get paid $4 million a year to fix these problems. I get paid what I get paid to talk about them. That's my job. I can do my job. I feel like I'm good at my job. The guy getting paid $4.5 million a year needs to figure out what's going on with his team, because this is bad, bad basketball, and it's just cruising towards another one and done in the NCAA tournament. You know, 4 weeks ago, you were talking about this team being a 3 seed. Now it's going to be like, are they going to have to sweat on Selection Sunday? I said they had to go 1-1 this week. They still have the opportunity to do that. But right now, I mean, what's the line for this game going to be? I think it'll probably be respectable, like Ole Miss 6.5, 7. But in reality, I think State's probably going to lose that game by double digits. I just don't have any faith in them right now. And it's not even a case of, you know, well, maybe Hubbard can carry them. Hubbard had 38 against Alabama, and it wasn't enough. State's in a bad spot right now. Bad spot. And, you know, in this conference this year, there's no escaping that. There's no, well, you know, we're going to play a couple games in a row against the nobodies. State's played the nobodies. They've played South Carolina twice. They got those wins. They get LSU in a few weeks. And that should be as easy a win as they can get. Texas, Oklahoma, not great. But State's playing right now, they just have a fatal flaw. And I talked about it on Sports Talk. It was kind of like with football, where I couldn't take anything seriously, because every time the defense was on the field, they were giving up huge plays. And I feel like about this Mississippi State basketball team, it doesn't matter what they do on all the offensive end. They're going to give up so many three-pointers, it doesn't matter. You can't beat anybody letting them hit 16, 15, 14 three-pointers in a game. Unless you're going to do the same, which they're not. This is a rough, rough patch for Mississippi State. They've got a lot to figure out in the next few weeks. And if they don't, they will be another one-and-done year. And, you know, I'm not going to be one of these people who are talking about, like, moving on from Jans, all right? Because that's the kind of talk that happened with Stansberry, and the program torpedoed underneath itself. And Mississippi State going to the NCAA tournament every year, it's good. That's a good thing. Eventually they will break through and have a run in March. It will happen. But goodness gracious, man. The way they've played these last couple home games, it's just embarrassing. Getting beat like that on your home court is embarrassing. It's just not acceptable. You know, you lose a home game, it's fine. We talk about how hard it is to win on the road. Not here. State's 2-4 at home. 2-4 on their home court. That's brutal. That's a brutal statistic right there. Thankfully, the rest of the show is a little happier. It's the rumblings, so you know we'll up the energy hopefully a little bit. Let's do the ads. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I'll be honest with you. We're gonna be totally honest here. We're just you and I listening here. If ever I was gonna break my diet, today was the day. I've had a rough day. I've had a rough couple weeks, to be totally honest with you, and the thought of just housing some pork rind nachos, some wings, a couple tacos, maybe a pulled pork sandwich, it's appealing. I'm not going to do it, but I want to. And, you know, so be it. Or I could go to the older brother and eat like 3 of the croque monsieurs and about a pound of French fries. That's where I am. I'm not going to do that, though. That feels like a terrible idea. But it sounds good. It does sound good. When I'm in a better place, I'll go to Two Brothers and just enjoy a nice meal. And I hope that you will too. Next time you're in Starkville, you know the place to go. It's Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. Oh, that's right. He's not here. When you need technology for your business, you know the number to call. It's 601-362-9192. That's Advantage Business Systems. They're going to give you a great product. They're going to give it to you at a great price.
And then best of all, they're going to offer great service after the sale. Something's going to go wrong. When you have technology, things go wrong. If you want it to get fixed quickly, if you want it to get fixed on your schedule and not somebody else's, you need to call Advantage Business System, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Next time you're in Starkville, you need MSU gear. The place to go is Maroon & Co. This weekend for baseball, if you're going to be in Starkville, before you head over to Diddy Noble, make a trip to Maroon & Co. Pick up a brand new polo or pullover with the M over S and rock that at the game. You'll be looking good, you'll be feeling good, and you'll be saving a little money with our promo code. Thunder15, 15% off, regular price. Some exclusions do apply. I still don't know what those exclusions are. I have never once taken an item to checkout, said I want to use the Thunder 15 code, and them tell me, no, can't do it. It's never happened. So maybe you'll find, if you have an exclusion, I want to know what it was. I want to know. That being said, I don't think you're going to have any problems. Have a great shopping trip next time you're in Starkville. Head to Maroon & Co. All right, back to the guys. Myself, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Future Brian, it's actually just me. Hate to break the fourth wall there. We'll head back to the studio with me and Robbie.
And follow. I love you, my tribal chief.
Oh, we just acknowledged him. I hope that was worth it.
Jacob Fatu over here praying.
Oh yeah.
I love you, my tribal chief.
I never got that.
Solo.
Like, what are we doing here? Anyway.
Or I hate you.
Yeah, either way. One way or the other.
It's a strong word, but
it is. It is. But I think it'll be all right.
But
all right. Let's jump into the rumblings. The rumblings are brought to you by our friends over at Paul Davis Restoration. A lot of rain happening right now. And it's just a little rain today. But when rain gets out of hand and you've got storm damage, you need to have somebody you can rely on to talk to you about getting your house, your property back to normal and better than it was before. That's when you're going to call our friends at Paul Davis Restoration. If you're in the Golden Triangle and you have any kind of damage to your home, water, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it is, their expert team will provide fast professional service to restore your home and business, not only to its original condition, but their property improvement services will make it better than ever before. Paul Davis Restoration, your recovery and property improvement are their priorities. 662-769-7285. Let them bring your property back to life. Let's jump right in to our friend Alexandra Watson. If the three state schools were combined, in what year would we have won a national championship? So, first off, in baseball, there would be a dynasty the likes of which you have never seen. It would be every year. Every year that team would be top three at worst, right?
Yes.
Okay. In football, they would have won in 2014.
Yep.
They would have won in 2018. And I State had the number one defense in the nation. If I can add Jordan, well, I mean, I don't know if you want to go Fitzgerald or Tamu. I guess it just depends on what kind of offense you want to run. But with Kylan Hill and Aris Williams, with Greg Little on the offensive line now, with Deion Calhoun and Elton Jenkins, and I'm adding A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf and DeMarcus Lodge and Dawson Knox to that offense, nobody's beating that team. Nobody. So there's two right there. I'm sure you can find some more throughout the years. I mean, 1999, probably pretty similar. State was number one.
And this is just talking about football?
Well, I mean, I mentioned baseball. If we're going to do basketball, I don't know that there's a team that just stands out where, like, both teams. If you combine both teams this year, you've got something.
Yeah.
But
like, if State had, Juju Murray at point guard.
Yeah.
And Padula in the lineup with Hubbard,
yeah,
and
Morrell,
you know, Malik Dia. I mean, yeah, this year's team. If you combine this year's team, like Ole Miss's starting five with States with like three estate starters, and then Keyshawn Murphy and Riley Kugel, and that's like your core. Yeah, that team could compete for national title.
All right. Alexandra, with a question I've asked many times, where do hamsters live besides the pet store? I asked this about guinea pigs. Like, you never see guinea pigs in the wild. Apparently, they live in, like, Africa and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably in just other places.
So let's get imported here. The Google machine here.
I mean, I'm sure there are some in the wild. They're
wild
rodents.
Hamsters live in grasslands, meadows, and other areas across Europe and Asia. They're nocturnal, meaning they're most active at night.
So they don't really, they're not really American.
No, no.
They're not native here.
No.
We ship them in and put them in pet stores.
Yes, more or less.
Like chinchillas. Have you ever seen a chinchilla?
Yes, very, very good. Yes, chinchillas, stoats.
Yeah. When I was going parrots. To East Central, one of my friends at his house, which you can imagine, you know, what one of those houses was like at East Central Community College, with four guys living in it. He decided he wanted a chinchilla, and the house was not fit for any pet. You know, much less something from another climate, but evidently it survived. And I mean, honestly, that might have actually been the best climate for it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of hoarding, a lot of leftover food that's days old, sitting
it
in the
eat whatever it wanted. It was a scavenger.
Yes. Good yes. Point. That actually might have been a good spot for it. But yeah, he had a chinchilla. It's the first time I ever saw a chinchilla.
All right, Alex Douglas, rank the probability of these mythical creatures being real from most likely to least likely. Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, mermaids, unicorns, and centaurs. I get tree fitty.
Bigfoot, I think, is
easy number one.
The answer.
Easy number one, yeah.
And the Loch Ness Monster, I mean.
This might actually be the correct order.
There is a. You know, we've kind of debunked the Bigfoot picture that we know that was actually a man dressed in a suit.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that Bigfoot doesn't exist, that there isn't, you know, something like that walking around on 2 feet. Something like Bigfoot, I'm sure, exists.
Yes. A giant ape-like creature.
Yeah. We see orangutans and gorillas and stuff like that all the time. So that's not really a.
I got no problem believing that. Yeah, I can buy into that. Loch Ness probably too.
Yeah, we have pictures of some kind of creature coming out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, mermaids.
Are you familiar with the aquatic ape theory on mermaids?
No.
It's a theory of evolution that a subspecies of early, and I'm not talking about man even, like whatever, but like still kind of apes, lived close to the water, and over time evolved into the water became their home, and they became mermaids.
Okay.
After over millions of years, they grew gills. Their webbing in their hands got bigger, and it's a theory. It's kind of debunked, but it's a theory.
That sounds like that Disney Channel original movie that came out in like the early 2000s, where the guy was like a swimmer in high school, and like apparently his mom was like a mermaid, and like when he turned 13, he started turning into a mermaid.
No, so
like his skin got real dry, and then it became scaly.
Oh,
whatever. But
like a terrible version of Aquaman.
There is a terrifying video out there. I don't know if you've seen this. Mm-hmm. These fishermen are out in the sea, and it's in the middle of the night, and they're just like they're on their boat or whatever, and you just hear this like kind of like a screeching sound coming from the water, and you can kind of see. Going along with the boat. And they believe that that's a siren, which is a. And what they do, the myth is, they sing you a song or they call to you, you come to the water, and basically they kill you. That's the myth. The mermaid, the myth of a mermaid is not aerial, in the ocean finding trinkets.
These are horrific creatures.
The myth of a mermaid I think they're called sirens, right?
Sirens, yeah.
The myth of that is these are dangerous creatures.
Yeah.
So that there is a video out there on the internet where you can kind of hear coming from the ocean, and I think you can kind of see the formation of it in the water. That's why I don't like the ocean.
Mess with the ocean, yeah.
I don't like the ocean. There's too many things there that I don't know what they are and where they are, and it's their world. Like, yeah. I'm not going to mess with their world.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's why I don't like the beach. So stay away from the ocean at all costs.
Everything about the beach tells you don't go to the beach.
Don't go there, yeah.
Like, you get
there's jellyfishes and there's sharks nearby. Why am I there?
It's hot. There's no shade.
I'll just go to the pool.
You have to create shade.
Yeah.
It's, go to the pool. The water is salty.
Yeah.
You get burnt very easily. And sand gets into every crack in your body.
Why would I go? I don't want to go.
What's the purpose? I've never understood.
I appreciate you. Davis Medford wants our thoughts on halftime. I'm done. I can't go another step forward with this halftime show stuff. Although
it is still going on. It's still being
apparently it was the most watched halftime show ever, and it got more views than the actual game. So there we go.
And next year, whoever they get, it will be the same conversation.
Well, it depends on who it is.
It'll still be the same conversation.
No, I think Chris Stapleton. That's the best halftime show we ever had.
Well, no, there will be a portion
of people
that say that was terrible.
Yeah. Buster Vaughn asks, where would your dream senior trip be with all your best friends from high school to go on the summer after your senior year? I mean,
I'm not seeing this question. I must have Buster muted or something.
Let's see here. He didn't tag you.
Oh, okay.
Did he? Never mind. Didn't lock it up either. We're out.
Come on.
Brick Thomas.
He just tweeted you?
Yeah, he didn't tweet at me. You, yeah.
Okay.
Brick Thomas, I recently got back into WWE thanks to the Royal Rumble podcast a couple of weeks ago. I watched from 2011 to 2016. You watched through some rough years, man.
That was a bad time. I can see why he stopped.
Yeah. Can I jump back in, or are there some major things I need to go back and catch up on? I think you're okay with wrestling most of the time just to jump back in. You'll catch up pretty quick.
Well, here's the thing with wrestling, WWE especially, they are so good at recapping what happened the week prior.
Yeah.
And telling you, they walk you through it. It's, I mean,
they show who attacked who and then, you know, who. Yeah, I agree. Yes.
Wrestling is a soap opera. It is in every way, every form and fashion, the art of it is a soap opera.
Yes.
And if I turned on Days of Our Lives, does it still exist?
Yes.
If I turned that on today and I watched it a couple of days, I would be able to kind of get back on track pretty easily. Wrestling's like that too. Storylines change, things happen, you can jump back in. I stopped watching in like 2004, 2005, and I didn't pick back up until 2012.
Yeah.
And I got right back into it 2012. I think Nibbler wanted me to come watch WrestleMania or something, and I had not watched it in years.
Yeah.
And I got hooked immediately. I watched a couple of weeks prior, I watched SmackDown and Raw to kind of get back into it.
That's all it takes. And
that wasn't really a good time, but it right now is
great time.
Just red hot.
Yeah, agreed. Let's see here. Sidelines Hail State. Has Reese's gone too far with all the different shapes of their signature candy? Nah, because it sells. Yeah, they
I don't care what it is.
Trees and rabbits and everything else.
It all tastes the same. It's peanut butter and chocolate.
Yeah, it's good. What home baseball series are you most excited for this season? Florida and Ole Miss are really the only two that stand out to me. I mean, Kentucky's a good team, but Texas is cool because it's their first time. It's their first time at Duty Noble, first time in the SEC. That one's cool. I take it back. There's more than two.
Yeah. Right. And you have a chance for one of them to jump up and surprise you too.
Yeah.
That you're not expecting. But yeah, Texas is probably the answer, I think. Just seeing the burnt orange out there and, it's going to be different.
All right. Broken Fairchild, this is my Generation 1 Jetfire. That is by far the coolest toy that survived my childhood. Man, that's awesome. Do you have any toys that survived your childhood? If not, which one would you want to go back and save? I don't have any of my toys left.
No. I don't have them with me, but I'm sure they're at my parents.
Mine are all gone.
Go ahead. I have a book that's actually behind me of Pokemon cards.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah.
You and Evelyn should talk about that sometime.
Well, I actually one day I inputted all of them like into this price check thing to see how
Yeah.
much they're worth,
And?
and not worth nearly what I
Oh.
thought they were going to be worth.
Yeah, I think I still have my baseball card somewhere. As far as toys I could say, if I could go back, I'd like to get Castle Grayskull. That would be cool to have, and have He-Man and Skeletor.
Yeah.
I didn't have the aircraft carrier. I wanted like to have had it, but I did have the Cobra Terrordrome, the Cobra base. Really cool. And then I'd like to have from the superpowers the old Hall of Justice and the Batmobile. If I could have those two, I'd be pretty happy.
I had a Batmobile. I had a ton of Batman stuff because I was a huge Batman kid.
Yeah.
And then one thing I was really into whenever I was 7 or 8 was wrestling action figures. I actually
Yeah, I had some
still
of
have,
those.
I
Yeah.
have a ton of those still.
Yeah.
And I had the rings. So I
Yeah.
always did Royal Rumble. I actually was really weird and would set up a video camera and film my own Raw. Like
Oh, that was I would pay so much money to
I
watch
would
one.
have I had their music because I had WWF Volume 3 and all that.
This
So
is
I'd play.
incredible.
I had the Raw Titantron entrance,
The production
and
value is incredible of this.
yeah. So I'd set up the camera, and actually the first thing I did was I would stand in front of the camera as like Vince McMahon or whatever, and introduce Raw, and I would stop
Welcome,
it.
everyone.
Yeah. And then I set up a card, and I was, 7 or 8 years old. I set up a card for the night. Vince McMahon would come out and talk to the crowd and all that stuff. It was pretty crazy. I
That's
also used
awesome.
to record my own radio shows. Like I would be the DJ and I would play it
Just
on
getting ready for
records
this
and stuff.
gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's
That's
the
good
kind of
stuff.
kid I was.
Hey. All right. Where are we now? Patton Paris. Would you rather spend the day with Jameis Winston in New Orleans or spend the day with Stone Cold on his ranch? Who's that second guy? I don't know who that is. I guess I have to pick Jameis Winston because I've never heard of this other person.
It would be Stone Cold,
Who?
100%. Riding around in a ATV on the Broken Skull Ranch.
I'm not familiar with
What?
him. Who?
What?
No, I said who?
What?
Rank these Spider-Man MJs: Emma Stone, Kirsten Dunst, and Zendaya. Well, first and foremost, you got an issue here. Emma Stone was not MJ. She
Emma
was
Stone's
Gwen
not MJ.
Stacy.
That's right.
So that she's out. So I would rank
Well,
Kirsten
let's
Dunst.
just say Spider-Man's love interest.
Okay, I still rank Kirsten Dunst first.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we'll probably go.
The
I think Zendaya will probably be ahead because Gwen Stacy. Yeah.
I I'm just more attracted to her than Emma Stone, to be honest with you. But the upside down kiss thing that
Awesome.
Spider-Man got, I was like, that was like my dream when that came out. I was like, if I could just have the one upside down kiss with Kirsten Dunst,
Yeah.
I will die a happy man.
Well, we'll see. I'll reach
I
out to
was
her people and see if we
first
can make it.
attracted to Kirsten Dunst in the Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah. Oh, she was a little kid.
When she was a kid. I mean, she was older
How old
than
were
me at the
you?
time. She was older than me.
Hold on.
That came out in like
Hold on. All right. What year were you born?
89.
Okay. Totally acceptable. In case anybody's wondering, totally acceptable. Robbie
She's
would have been
older than
five.
me.
Robbie would have been five. It's okay.
That
Yeah.
she is older than
I'm
me.
just making sure.
I'm not. I wasn't. I'm not. I don't watch it now when I'm attracted to her.
Right, because she's a
At
little
the
kid.
time when that movie came
I get
out,
it. We're good now. We're all on the same page now. We're
when that
all on the
movie
same
came out,
page.
95.
94.
Okay.
Yeah, you're all on the same page. We're all good.
Exactly.
We're good. We're good. All right. Rank the fallen
Now, if
versions
you
of
would have been back
that would
then,
have been a problem. That would have been
yes.
an issue. I would have been 18. That would have been a problem. Yeah, I agree. Rank the following versions of Batman: Kilmer, Affleck, Pattinson, Keaton, Clooney, Bale. All right, Clooney's last. His version of Batman is awful. That's one of the worst movies ever.
I enjoyed those movies just because that was my childhood, but yes, he is
So
last.
I think Bale is one. Then I think
Michael Keaton's number one for me. Yeah.
you got him ahead of Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I was going to go Keaton too, I think.
I just
And
love Michael Keaton.
I thought Pattinson was really, really good.
So I put him third. I'm going to put Kilmer fourth. I love Batman Forever. I think that's a really good movie. I enjoy it. And then Affleck is fifth. Affleck had a lot of potential, but the movies he's in are terrible. So
what was Clooney? Batman and Robin?
He was just in Batman and Robin.
He didn't do two?
No.
Okay. It was Kilmer in Batman Forever, and then the next one was Batman and Robin.
Yeah, correct.
Which was the same cast except for a new Batman.
Batman was different. Yeah, everybody else was the same. Yeah, that's the one with Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
Yeah. I liked that. You didn't like Batman and Robin?
It's so corny, man. And plus, I mean, it's just awful. It's bad.
Poison Ivy?
I mean, I liked Uma Thurman. Don't get me wrong, but, you know.
Yeah, I think you have it rated correctly. So, did you say Bale first?
I had Bale first, but
would go Kilmer. I mean, I would go Keaton, but it's grasping at straws. I think both of them are excellent.
Yeah. All right. Colton Watson, more likely Sweet 16 or Super Regional?
Super Regional.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. I just don't know about this team right now.
I need to see them turn things around and start playing better again.
You know, if they beat Florida on Tuesday, mm-hmm. you know, I have the right to change my mind. But
yeah.
I think baseball is better suited for Super Regional. And this is – Super Regional is something that Mississippi State has done a lot over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Sweet 16 has only been done a handful of times at Mississippi State and hasn't been done since 1996.
So I will say that his next question, more likely Elite Eight or Omaha. I mean, if you pick one over the other, it still has to hold, right? If I say Super Regional, Omaha has to be more likely than Elite Eight. Yeah, so that's easy. Is it time to have a conversation about Sam Purcell? We got that exact question last week.
I think we're going to keep getting that question.
We had that question last week. We answered that question. Colton, are you listening to the podcast?
We've been having the conversation about Sam Purcell, but that doesn't mean that they're going to make a coaching change this year. I think people believe that there's going to be a coaching change, women's basketball, the state's going to make a firing here, and it's not going to happen this year. I do not see it happening.
All right. Rank pancakes, waffles, biscuits, French toast, and crepes. We got to take biscuits out of this, Robbie. Biscuits do not belong in this discussion. They're not the same thing at all.
This is a sweet treat.
Yeah, biscuits is out of this. I love biscuits. Don't get me wrong. I am the king. I am the president, CEO of Team Biscuit.
It's just different.
It's different. So if I'm ranking these, we're going French toast, waffles, pancakes, crepes.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
I love French toast. French toast is my favorite breakfast food. So, yeah.
The best French toast I've had is at the Midtowner in Hattiesburg.
It's very good.
Last time I was there for the state championships, I got that. That was the first time I actually ordered it. Robert ordered that for the table when we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had it for breakfast and was blown away. So when I went back, mm-hmm. I ordered it this time. I couldn't finish it. It was four pieces of toast, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Like all, you know, cut up in halves.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's absolutely phenomenal.
It's not my number one. My number one is a restaurant called Toast in New Orleans. It's on Decatur Street, right? It's the coconut cream stuffed French toast with bruleed pineapple, candied macadamia nuts, lemons, curd, and maple syrup.
Ooh.
That sounds pretty good. It's pretty damn good. It's pretty good.
I love French toast.
I do.
Especially when it's real crispy.
They also have a king cake French toast down there, too. It's good. It's good.
Still have not seen a king cake from Loblolly Bakery.
I don't know.
It's not arrived on our doorstep yet.
Ah, well, we'll see what happens. All right, Wade Jones wants to know what happened to Dylan Favre. That's this week's Where Are They Now?
I feel like I saw him tweet or something the other day.
So I'm looking at his Instagram here. He is a QB coach and an offensive coordinator for the Academy of Richmond County Football. So he's coaching now. He's also a husband. He's married.
Good for him.
Doesn't appear to have children.
Where is Richmond County?
Let's see here. Hold on. Georgia, Augusta, Georgia.
not a bad spot.
That's a good spot, yeah. So he's doing okay. He looks like he's doing okay. Good for Dylan.
Good. Good for him.
Quick story. My dad showed up at my granny's house Saturday night, and she was watching the Chiefs versus Eagles. But notice the score was 24-17. After a while, he noticed there were no commercials. Then he noticed that Kelsey was playing center for the Eagles. My dad asked my uncle, who was already there, why aren't there any commercials? He whispered, we started watching the game late, but Mama didn't know. She thinks it's live. My dad Googles it and scores 34-0. They were watching a channel watching the old Super Bowl. That's what he says. After turning it to the real game, Granny said, I believe I'll watch the old game.
Yeah. That's great.
There you go. Eli Ayers with a question that might get us in trouble, but who is the worst head football coach in the SEC in y'all's opinion? I mean, I know people. Lebby has a strong case for this. He's only got 1 year. He was 2-10. Nothing went right for him.
I just feel like it's too early to definitively say.
I have the guy I think it is. Venables.
Yes, that could be correct.
Venables has had 3 years at Oklahoma and has been bad two of them.
And now he's doing that last ditch.
Yeah, like, he's changing
I'm going to take over play calling for defense.
Yeah, I think it's him. Probably Napier is second. But, I mean, Napier has a chance to really turn that narrative around.
He seems to be digging out of a hole.
Yeah. Pittman probably in there. In that
Pittman is probably ahead of Napier.
You think?
Yeah.
You say he's digging out. I got to see him dig out. They got to have a good year this year. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the year last year, they showed a lot of fight.
Yeah.
Beat Ole Miss. They finished strong.
Yeah.
He's recruiting well. I mean, to me, Sam Pittman is kind of like, you know, almost just like a figurehead. Like,
yeah.
Just Ben
Petrino's running that show, you feel. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he really, like, has an answer for much. He's probably my pick, to be honest with you.
All right.
Either him or Venables.
John wants us to rank these random Bulldogs. Schneider Harrard, Ashton Shumpert, Tyson Lee, Parker Stinnett, Xavier Stapleton.
Harrard's last.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Xavier Stapleton's probably second to last because Parker Stinnett actually...
He had a few moments there.
And he was like SEC pitcher of the week a time or two.
Yeah. A good strong crop. I think Tyson Lee's probably got to be number one because he was a starting quarterback for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably Shumpert second. He started some games.
Yeah.
So we'll go Lee, Shumpert, Stinnett, Stapleton, Harrard.
Yes.
Okay. Hunter Johnson, who are the top five pitchers State will count on coming out of the bullpen? Black. Grant.
Parker.
Parker.
Hungate's probably.
Sierra.
Maybe.
Man, he could be a guy who gives you an inning there.
It also depends on, like, what happens with starting pitching.
Hungate.
Yeah, Hungate's probably number one or number two. Yeah. And then Black. And then we'll see on Mekhi Grant how he comes along. But it really depends on how the starting pitching
comes around. I just see Stone Simmons going back to the bullpen.
I think Stone Simmons is probably going to be a bullpen guy, but I don't know. I mean, this might be a great fit for him. I thought he did really well in the summer as a starter.
Yeah.
But it just depends on how long he can go in games. So we'll see.
All right. Let's see here. Who's next? Ford Polk, excluding Dak Prescott, what Mississippi State player would have had the most NIL potential?
John Bond.
John Bond would have had huge NIL potential.
Jake no Mangum.
That's a good call. Really good call.
Jake Mangum, Tanner Allen.
Mangum and Allen. I think you can go back. Clark and Palmeiro would have had.
Oh, yeah.
Massive potential. Victoria Vivians and Tierra McCowan, both. Morgan William, after she hit that shot. Morgan William, after she hits that shot, could have been a national brand if
missed it. She just missed it.
Yeah. So there's some good names there. So my wife and I went to the Dallas-Detroit game last year on New Year's. One thing I took away is that in every big situation, they would have Michael Irvin basically losing his mind and yelling at the crowd to get fired up. Would you like to see football do something similar? Which player would you like to see in the hype video? Is there anything you add?
I mean, there are a lot of teams do that, where they, like, at a big moment, they have somebody come on the Jumbotron, and they're like, let's get up, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, for State, I mean, if it was,
Chris
I mean,
Jones
Chris Jones, it could be
or
Simmons.
Willie Gay.
Willie Gay would be good. I'm just trying to think, is there, like, anybody who, like, maybe didn't make it as a pro, but could be in that situation? I'm trying to think. I don't know. Simmons, Jones, Gay, Sweat would be good. Yeah, those are good. Those will all be good choices. Where are we here? John, if they knew that the asteroid would hit the Earth in 2032, do you think they would tell us? Wouldn't the government and the billionaires like us, what?
I wish.
Need regular people to keep working. They talk about that in Armageddon. They're like, we haven't alerted anybody because the world would break down, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I knew, even if you're talking about 8 years out, people would still be like, I'm done. Why am I going to continue to go to work?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be chaos.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, we will not know that thing's coming until you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So, would y'all go somewhere to watch the end of the world? If we're being dead serious, I would just sit in my house next with my family around me. And, you know, just, all right. You know, at least we're all together.
I would try to find a bunker somewhere.
Nah.
You just want to die?
I mean, what are we talking about here? Living underground for like 50 years while the air clears out? I mean, I'm not going to make it.
Will it take that long?
Yeah, probably. Probably. I mean, think about the dinosaurs, man. How long did it take for the world to come back from that? Yeah, if an asteroid hits the Earth like that, we're done. That's it. There's no surviving that.
Like an asteroid, you think would create that much issues like outside?
Yes.
I could see a nuclear bomb.
This would be like a nuclear bomb.
Yeah, but it would just. I mean, like,
if they're talking about it. Like,
would have the same
Armageddon. Think about it. If that thing hits the ocean and it creates a tidal wave that goes all the way across the continent. And then there's just going to be ash and smoke everywhere. Yeah, yes, Robbie. There's going to be a problem with that. Yes.
Well, I guess it would just depend on how big this asteroid is. If it's one that's big enough to destroy the whole Earth, then yeah, I mean, we wouldn't survive that at all. But I, you know, if it's a smaller one that's wiping out, you know, half of the country.
If it smashes into the moon, that would be a problem too. So, how big is this asteroid? Let me see here.
Man, it would have to be massive.
I'm trying to see. It's asteroid. What is the name of it? 2024YR4. Size.
Is there something in?
It's 300 feet across.
It's pretty big.
Check us out, man.
Is there a way that we could get into space and break it up?
Have you not seen Armageddon? I mean, that's what the plot of the movie is.
That's a movie.
Well, yeah, that's how they. I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea if they could do it.
They just got on it, didn't they? Like,
they drilled into it.
Yeah.
And
but like, is there like? Could we take a? Can we shoot a missile into it and break
talk
it
about
up?
That in the movie, they're like, that sounds like that's a terrible idea because all it does now it creates 1,000.
Yeah, but they're much smaller. It's not one big one that's going to crater the Earth.
It would still do a billions of dollars in damage. It may not kill the Earth, but it'd kill a lot of people. So,
look, anyway. I'm not a scientist. Okay,
no, I know. Neither was Harry Stamper, but you know. Tyler Sumrall, Selman gives you full creative authority to create a dish for the future Outfield restaurant. What dish are you putting on the menu? We're calling it the Thunder, something Thunder and Lightning, right?
It's going to be barbecue related.
Yes,
100%. A brisket.
The
a
Thunder
brisket
and Lightning sandwich with like brisket and pulled pork on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or
a massive barbecue
pork
sandwich.
Belly.
Yeah, some sort of massive barbecue sandwich with like fries. Yeah. That's where we're going.
Or we're going to collaborate.
Because here's one thing I feel like sometimes people get wrong with ballpark food is you just really want it to be simple. You want it to be something you can eat while you're at the game. I'm not looking to have something fancy at a baseball game.
Can we collaborate with Chad Dawkins about a taco? We've had a Thunder and Lightning taco.
The Thunder and Lightning taco. That's going to be spicy. Yep. It's going to be spicy.
One time he did a taco that was like crawfish or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
Can we do like a pork belly and like pulled pork barbecue taco or something like that?
Yeah, we can absolutely. I do those at home. Yeah, we
like, have the Thunder is the pork belly.
All right, so what's the Lightning?
The Lightning is
like a spicy
brisket or pulled pork.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm in.
You have the shredded meat and you have the cubes.
Yes. Okay. I like where you're at. Yeah. There we go.
That can be our taco.
Also from Tyler, is listening to an audiobook considered reading? Absolutely not.
No.
No. Reading is reading.
The purpose of reading is have the book in front of you. I don't even like reading with a Kindle or phone or laptop or whatever.
That is technically reading, but I see what you're getting at.
It is, but I consider reading grabbing a physical book and reading what's on the page because that's how it was intended.
Agreed. Ryan Reynolds, since 2010, every national champion has thrown a first pitch strike to start their season except for two. Vandy in 2014 and State in 2021. That is some damn research, Ryan. Good job.
State threw a ton of strikes that year, too. That's really weird.
Based on this, so he said, so what we're saying is that the first pitch of the season, Christian McLeod, ball one.
Yeah.
So, okay. Should State throw a ball or a strike to start the season? I just lean towards strike. That's what strikes are better. Just throw strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The odds are in State's favor.
Yeah.
That they go to a national championship by throwing a strike,
mm-hmm.
even if they defied those odds in 2021.
Yeah. Dalton Lee, do y'all have any Valentine's Day traditions? I personally think it's mostly overrated, but that's only because my wife won't read this. You can't describe, Dalton. You cannot put into words the level of temptation I have to tag your wife in a tweet on this. Yeah, I can't put it into words.
You absolutely should.
In that case, hold on. I think he's got her. Hold on. See if I can find her. Well, I'll see if I can do it later. Anyway, no, I don't really. I send flowers to my wife and my daughters every year on Valentine's Day. Since she's here.
I actually talked to Becky this week, and I was like, do you even care that I send flowers?
Yeah.
And she was like, I mean, it's a nice gesture, but because Becky is not a flower person.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, I was like, if you're not really, into that, and they just die anyway, I don't think I'm going to spend money on that anymore. I'm going to find something else.
Yeah.
And so she was like, absolutely. She said, I would rather have something that's like tangible that I could use.
Yeah.
You know, but like I will still give her a gift, but I think I guess it's been since we were dating, 2009 or 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I've given her flowers every single Valentine's Day, specifically Gerber daisies, because that was her favorite flower.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be the first year I don't.
Okay.
Because I just don't think it's really worth it. It's one of those things that's kind of going through the motions at this point. As far as any other traditions, my schedule was always so messed
always
up.
Always working, yeah.
This is always during baseball season and basketball playoffs. And so we always just have to find, like, can we go to a lunch? Can we go to a dinner one night that I have open? I don't have, like, a single night open this week. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Brooks Taylor, maybe I'm a traditionalist at the old age of 35, but why are players allowed yellow, blue, pink, and red shoes when those aren't your colors? Drives me crazy. It's just about comfort. They find that they find the shoe they want, and they find the color. I mean, who cares?
I think it's probably more because they like the way it looks.
Yeah, this is definitely old man yelling at a cloud stuff here.
But like I will say, we used to have team issued shoes. Everybody had the same shoes.
Yeah.
And if you showed up to a game and you didn't have the shoes, you didn't play.
Yeah.
You couldn't wear other basketball shoes. You had to look like the rest of the team.
See, in football was just go buy your cleats. Just whatever you bought was what you had. And
at our school, which private school is probably different.
Yeah.
We all had to look the exact same.
Yeah.
And, like, they didn't want us putting on – like, I started, like – heck, damn it. I started wearing high socks. I started putting on armbands. I tried to wear a headband one time.
They're like, no.
My coach was ticked. He called it Mickey Mouse crap.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, if Hubbard's going to go for 28 a night, I don't care what kind of shoes he has on. He can have wear whatever.
Yeah, I think it's because I've become kind of numb to it now.
Yeah, I just don't care.
But the first person I saw doing this was Rekia Jackson. She was wearing
she wore pink.
Pink shoes, and everybody else was wearing different colors, and people got mad because State lost the game that day.
Yeah, like that was the reason. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reed Sweeney asks, like most people in this world, I wear prescription lenses to help me see, but I often think, what if I lived in a time without this medical innovation and how screwed I'd be? What is a modern medical advancement that we took for granted that you'd be in trouble without? Glasses is definitely one. How many people like 200 years ago were just walking around like they thought they were blind? Like if I take glasses off, I'm basically blind. Who is calling? I know who it is.
I don't know. Someone from Philadelphia.
On the streets of Philadelphia. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania or Mississippi?
They probably were like, this person's just blind.
Yeah.
Like, you just thought you were blind back then.
Yeah.
And then it was Benjamin Franklin come up with the bifocals or something?
He invented the bifocal. But glasses existed before that, but he got the bifocal going. So, yeah.
You know what?
I'm thankful for it. I'm wearing them right now.
This isn't a medical advancement, but we've come a long way in, like, hygiene.
Oh yeah,
I was reading something the other day about medieval times. They didn't take like baths or anything.
No,
they hardly ever cleaned themselves.
Well, I mean, like you probably didn't have any teeth in your mouth after the age of 30 back then.
Yeah, so it was like disgusting. So like people were like, I would love to go back in time. So that no, you wouldn't.
No, you would not. Absolutely,
you would not.
Not
want to be in that time.
I've thought
because
about
because they're just like they were talking about people were like going to the bathroom and just throwing it out a window.
Yeah,
like onto the
street, down the road. Yeah,
so you're just like walking on the streets, and somebody just dumps a bucket on your head. That's a big advancement.
Think about like just in terms of like entertainment. So if you grew up in like the 1500s, you might have never heard music.
Yeah,
but it's possible you never heard music. You certainly never read a book because what percent of the world could read back then? 10, 15, maybe. So that's it. Yeah,
you were really smart if you could read.
Yeah, well, I mean, if they thought you were a witch. All right, longtime listener here.
Get behind me, Satan.
Yeah, and Jonathan Sissom, welcome to the show. We appreciate you. Thank you for all you do, is what he says. Will baseball have to follow the same injury report rules that baseball and basketball had to follow this year? I would think so, and that's going to drive Lamonis crazy. He's not going to be happy about that.
Yeah, you can't put close.
Yeah, yeah, you have to put out.
Bradley
yeah.
Lofton, close.
He's close. Yeah, we're going to. This one, I can't wait to get your thoughts on this next question, Robbie. I can't wait. I grew up in southern Tippah County, and we always had mashed potatoes when we ate spaghetti and PB&J with tomato soup. Everyone that I knew ate it that way. Now that I've moved out of Tippah County, I've been told that I'm weird. Am I? Jonathan, I need you to listen to me. I need you to listen to the words coming out of my mouth. They're very important. That's messed up.
That is crazy.
Mashed potatoes with spaghetti.
No, sir.
PB&J with tomato soup.
Okay. I had this conversation with somebody last night.
Okay.
I was at a basketball game, and I looked amongst the crowd, and I said, all these people look the same. Like, is it – and I'm not saying that there's incest or anything, but is there something –
Where were you,
like,
first off? Where were you?
I'm not throwing anybody on the bus.
Okay.
But, okay, so is there something to, like, you grow up in an area and that area is just different than everywhere else in the state?
Talk about, like, the people on the coast who want to eat French dressing on their pizza. That's just a coast thing. Oh, you've never heard of this? We've talked about it, I thought.
No.
People on the coast, they put French dressing or Catalina on their pizza.
Now, I like Catalina dressing. I haven't seen this dressing in years. It used to be so prevalent.
Anymore.
That was my dressing, as I would eat French dressing. I've never seen it.
People specifically on the Mississippi Gulf Coast put it on pizza.
Oh my gosh.
You didn't
the
know
coast
that?
is very much a different state.
Think about like barbecue, like when you go out to the Carolinas, it's vinegar sauce, or maybe it's mustard sauce. Then you go into Alabama and they have the white sauce. Then you go into Memphis and they have the spicy sauce and Kansas. Yeah, regional cuisine is definitely a thing. I say all that to say mashed potatoes and spaghetti is messed up.
What is going on in Tippah County?
Brother,
what is happening? That's North Mississippi, right? That's North Mississippi.
Yeah.
North Mississippi is an interesting place, like beyond where we are. But yeah, the mashed potatoes and spaghetti, I actually
a lot of starch.
That's a lot, but I could eat that. I actually have
PB&J and tomato soup.
That's a clash.
Telling me that he's if you're eating it separately, okay. Are you telling me we're dipping the sandwich into the soup like we do a grilled cheese?
Yeah, grilled cheese works with tomato soup.
Yeah, it's fine. But PB&J, that's messed up. I want to say a much stronger word than messed. I just want to say that.
And he said everyone he knows is like this. Like I can't think of a place.
I need more of our – if you're listening, if you're within the sound of our voice and you're listening in Tippah County, I need to know more. We need to know more.
So it is a phenomenon in the state, like the different
– yeah.
Like how different people are in different sections. It is really crazy.
It is. Also, he gets us here. I hate to be that guy, but on one of last week's shows, you mispronounced the community of Hurricane in Pontotoc County. You got to pronounce it the country way. So
there is no way.
You tell me it's Hurricane, Mississippi?
That cannot. You can't come in here and be like, "That's the wrong way to pronounce hurricane."
It's like, Harbor way. It's the hurricane.
Pontotoc, man, this is North Mississippi. What is happening? So, what is going on up there?
Oh, speaking of Pontotoc County, our friend Alexandra Watson is she's doing raffle. Her daughter's doing a raffle ticket for a dinner at Seafood Junction. I was like, I might have to buy some tickets.
And the raffle is. Like you buy
a ticket and then you can win like two free meals or something.
Yeah, we might have to do that.
Yeah, I might be.
This summer we're going to go back up there just on a random.
You don't have to twist my arm. All right, this isn't a rumblings, and she didn't tag you, but I know you want to hear this. But Katie Lewis said, "I see your psychotic Skittle eating, and I raise you. I separate mine into colors, and then those groups must be on even numbers." I eat the odds first, and then each group from fewest to most.
That is next level. That's like
that is some high level OCD for Skittles. I respect it though.
That's Rain Man stuff. Like that is.
I gotta have purple Skittles. they gotta be purple.
I just don't like. I don't see how y'all do that stuff when it comes to eating. I mean, I am that way. Like the volume. On music or TV has to be an even number for me.
About a five. Can you live with a five? Like split the difference.
No, it's got to be even.
Aislinn
be
is like that. Aislinn is four. Like that. It has to be. Aislinn will not even have an even number. It has to be a zero or a five.
And I'm like that on some stuff too.
Yeah.
When I'm pumping gas, it's either got to be 50 cents or straight up dollar.
I will try my. Now, let me ask you a question then. Let's say you're pumping. And you get to you hit it and you miss, and now you're at like 22.01.
No, I did that yesterday.
What do? You go up to the next dollar?
I left it and I cringed.
Oh, okay, say it because
I
can't put any more in there.
I'd already like popped it a few times.
Exactly.
It was about to overflow.
There's nothing you can do. I'm with you.
It was like 65.01, and I was like, oh my gosh,
65. Good lord.
Yeah, that's gas, right. Man.
Hunter Boland, what are the ingredients to a perfect breakfast burrito? I mean, it's pretty simple, right? Potatoes, eggs, cheese, and then your meat of choice, either sausage or bacon. I mean,
I've never really got into breakfast burritos.
I'm not a huge fan, but that's how I would think they need to be. Maybe some salsa in there?
See, that's the thing. It's like burritos, to me, I have a – like in my head, it's a Mexican dish.
Right.
So it needs salsa.
Okay.
Well, and I don't want salsa in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I see where you're going then. All right. We got some I'm sorry. No, never mind here. Walking Bully. Similar to the way Brian saves his favorite Skittle flavor for last, you eat your sides first and save your steak for last. I always have. No.
I just dabble in both.
I just eat my food. Yeah.
Do you, like, say you had some mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
Do you eat, Do you take your steak and dip it into your mashed potatoes?
I don't do that, but like if I have like chicken and macaroni and cheese on the same plate, I'll mix and match there. But I don't like steak and mashed potatoes on the same bite, if that makes sense.
Okay, I do that from time to time.
But I will mix my veggies, my noodles, and my meat sometimes.
What's your stance on steak sauce?
If you like it, that's fine. If you go to a really nice restaurant, you probably shouldn't ask for it.
Yeah.
But if you're just cooking at home and you want to put a little A1 on your steak, that's fine. I love A1 on a burger, but I don't normally put it on my own steaks. But if you want to, I don't care.
I just like people have talked about it being like blasphemy, but it's like, I mean, I like to add it to the steak.
Yeah.
But I don't like, I draw the line when I go to a steakhouse.
Yeah.
Like if the steak is at a steakhouse, like it's just.
Just enjoy the meat. Yeah.
And no ketchup with steak.
No. No.
That's absolutely something a child would do.
You're correct.
Heinz 57, A1, that's fine. No ketchup.
Yeah. Walking Bully, I'm going to save your other. We'll do a baseball preview tomorrow, and we'll do all of this on the tomorrow show. Wes Edgeworth, rank these in the next 10 years. State is guaranteed 1 football national title, 3 basketball national titles, 5 baseball national titles. You just rank them. And there is a massive gap between football and the rest.
If one football championship is greater than 5 baseball national
titles. Yeah, exactly. 100%. It's greater than 10. Kenny Manning, we can bring back 2 in their prime players for the 25 season. Who do you pick? Dak and Jonathan Abram? Jeff Simmons and Eric Moulds? Fred Smoot and Anthony Dixon? J.J. Johnson and Chris Jones? I feel like everybody's going to lean Dak, but that's not where I would go.
Jeff Simmons and Moulds.
That's where I'm going.
Yep.
An elite defensive lineman and an elite wide receiver.
Game breaker wide receiver and a guy that wrecks the defensive line that's going to free up everything out. Yeah, absolutely.
Mangum Cafe. Name a random New York Jet. Go. First one that pops in your head. I've already got mine.
Mark Sanchez.
Wayne Krabet.
Jeez.
Can do one more?
I was trying to think of another one like super obscure.
I got one.
Bart Scott.
Yeah, that's a good one. I went with Freeman McNeil.
I don't even know who that is.
Played in the 80s. There you go.
That's why.
Did you ever buy the Rectech?
No, I haven't gotten a. I hadn't gotten a grill still.
Okay.
Just had other stuff to
yeah.
Do. You
have a kid coming. You got stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Any advice bringing a 4-month-old to Duty Noble Field? The only thing I would tell you is you just need to be, content with the idea that you're probably going to leave early.
Yes.
So you're not going to be able to enjoy the game going on, and it's a good game and whatever. If the kid wants to go, it's time to go.
So you're not going to be able to enjoy that game at all.
You just have to, you need to make sure. I wouldn't come alone. I have my wife with me, and so that y'all can sort of trade off. But just be aware that middle of the fourth inning, fifth inning, you're probably going to leave.
If it's decent weather and the kid's sleeping.
Yeah, you'll be all right.
You might be all right.
Yeah.
Where it really gets, I mean, it's just not even worth it, is like 2.
Yeah.
Like when they're toddler and they just can't sit still.
And on top of that, when they're 2, you're going to spend $100 on food because you're going to have to get something every other inning. Like I took Emily to her first game. I think she was maybe 2.5, 3. And I remember buying like 2 drinks, 2 boxes of popcorn, and a bag of candy. And we were there for 5 innings.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? So, all right. That's it. Hopefully, future Brian didn't let us down. Tomorrow's show, we'll talk a little bit more about basketball, but we're going to really dive into baseball, a full season preview of the Diamond Dogs on tomorrow's show. Plus, we'll start looking ahead to Saturday's big game with Ole Miss. We'll see if State's coming off a win or a loss, so we'll figure all that out on tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great Wednesday. Back with you on Thursday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.